Tonight I want to talk to you about treasured kingdom truths. As I was preparing for tonight, just started entering into my heart that these are not random, but things through the years that I have found to be especially helpful in walking with the Lord. And I wanted to share a few of those with you tonight. I may continue this next week as well. And this is meat and potatoes, really practical. You know, the Scripture calls us to live life in the Spirit. You know, the letter of the law is death, but there's life in the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the spirit of the law of sin and death. So we're to live life in the Spirit. We're to walk in the Spirit. We're told in the book of Ephesians. We're to be led by the Spirit. We're told in the book of Romans. And we're to be counseled by the Spirit. Jesus said He's our resident counselor. And on it goes. But our day-to-day walk with the Lord. And across time, different seasons in my life, the things I'm going to be sharing with you have had an integral part of helping me better grasp, better realize, and move forward in the Lord. And like I said, these are really simple and practical, and I hope helpful, because they really have to do with Spirit-filled living. And so we'll just jump right in, and I'm going to share four of those with you quickly tonight. And the first one is look for the house of peace. Look for the house of peace. Now, what I mean by that, in Luke chapter 10, it's the occasion where Jesus sent out 70 people to go into the villages. And this is also a passage I love to use when I'm teaching on deliverance, because they came back rejoicing that the spirits were subject to him. And Jesus, the Bible says, he rejoiced. It literally means he began leaping up and down with joy because he realized they got it. They got a breakthrough. They realized that by using his name and obeying his sending out, it was really, he was sending out a large apostolic team. They saw the power of God manifesting in the places that they went. He gave them several words of guidance before he sent them about what they should carry with them and so forth. And one of the things he says, when you go into a place, verse 5, he tells them, but whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And he goes on to say, you stay there. Basically, don't just jump from house to house staying. You when you find that house of peace, you settle in there and you do your ministry in that village, in that city, out of that place. And what is he talking about? He says, when you enter a place and they receive you, they accept you, they're open to what you're there to do. In other words, they're supportive, they're encouraging. We would use the term hospitable. And he says, whatever they serve you, you eat that. Whatever they provide for you, you receive it. So there's a principle here. You know, when you're beginning a new endeavor, whether it's an apostolic assignment like this from the Lord, whether you're beginning a new business, whether you're moving into a new city, a new school, whatever, learn to look for the house or the person of peace. Because that will be, that's an indicator for you from what Jesus said. Because you ever think you get somewhere before the Lord does? No. He's the God who goes before us. And often what you discover are these divine appointments. And this doesn't mean that they didn't go into houses and they weren't received. If they weren't, then they left and they took their peace with them. There was an opportunity for those people to encounter the peace of God, the blessing of God, the favor of God. If they don't want to receive it, then don't let it rest there. You take it with you. But when you find that place that's receptive, that's where you begin to settle. And that's just true of anything. Even in the secular world, in the sales world, you know, it's finding a person of interest, someone who's open. You know, Jesus didn't get into demographics and all that. He's basically saying, you know, in your spirit, you discern, you look, you find, you discover that house or that person of peace. Because that's going to enable, that's your starting point, that's going to enable you then to have a much more fruitful and successful ministry or endeavor, whatever the case may be. And so just keep that in mind. You know, when you're on a mission trip, you find this to be so true. I know when we've gone to Guatemala, a lot of times we do house-to-house visiting, and that's ministry, going in and praying for people. And it's amazing the number of people that will invite you into their homes. Now, they'll have an open fire in there, and it may be smoking, you can't see, and it's just a little shanty or a lean-to. But to see the Holy Spirit then begin to move and to work. Not everybody's going to be that way. I've had people spit on me. I've had people curse me and so forth. But wow, when you meet that person whose heart becomes open and you can share Jesus and they get saved or you get to pray for them and they get healed, wow, now that's just the icing on the cake right there. So look for the person or the house of peace. You know, we're to take the gospel to everyone, but there are those scriptures where Jesus tells us to realize there's the times when you just back off. If you know, if they won't receive your peace, what does he say? He said, just, you know, your peace won't rest on it. You just leave. Another place he says, don't cast your pearls before swine. Well, you probably wouldn't do that, a literal string of pearls. But what's he saying? You don't take something valuable, and there's nothing more valuable than the gospel of the kingdom, and spend a lot of time sharing with that if somebody is going to act like a pig and just not have anything to do with it. What will a pig do to a string of pearls? It just smash them down the mud and snort around, stomp it, pay it no attention because has no awareness of the value of what's in front of it. So we have to learn to discern the level of people's receptivity. Does that mean you don't ever share the gospel with somebody that might be resistant? No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. But there are times when it's very clear you're unwanted and nobody's hearing what you're saying. But there are times when you're received and there's peace, you sow the seed. And here he's also saying, that's recognizing the place where I will move to make provision for you, if you read the passage. And it's amazing how that works. It's amazing how that works. I remember the first time I met Pastor Happy Akazi, who was in New York City. He was going to be flying back to where he lived in the Grenadine Islands, which basically lies just off the coast of South America, on the northern part of Venezuela, and the Lord spoke to him to come to Alabama and find a pastor named Eddie Lawrence. He never met me, didn't know who I was. I never met him. He remembered having met someone from Alabama. He flew into Florence and connected, I think it was with one of our new elders now, Mike Riggs. And Mike had, I had been his pastor, and Mike brought him over. And it was just instant. Our hearts connected, and we knew God was up to something. And we've taken many teams to Grenada since that time, 20-something years ago. But the Lord led him, and he found the person of peace. And it works that way. I remember a missionary, Bobby Gibson, who, by the way, went home to be with the Lord just a little over a week ago. There's going to be a funeral service for him this coming Sunday at Crossroads Baptist Church. A memorial service. He's already been buried in Honduras. But Pastor Bobby was here. He's at Grace House one time. And before he went back, we were praying over him because the Lord had laid on his heart to go up into the northern part of Honduras in an unreached area way back in the jungles on a river. He had heard about unreached people, and he wanted to go back there. He really didn't know how to get there. He didn't know where they were. And we were praying over him because he had such a burden to be able to take the gospel into those people who haven't heard, the Mesquite people. And we were praying, and I still remember this vividly. As we laid hands on him and prayed, I had a vision. I saw him walking in front of this building, and outside the steps of that building, there was a man with a canvas knapsack thrown over his shoulder, just standing there. And I said, and it felt like the Lord spoke to me. I said, "Brother Bobby, the Lord says when you get into that city, close to that river where you're going, you are to find this such building, and there will be a man there standing with a canvas knapsack over his shoulder. And the Lord said, he's the person that's going to open the door for you." Well, he goes, and then we hear back from him, you know, several months later after the trip. And he said, "Pastor Eddie," he said, "I went into that city, and I was walking up the building. I saw it, and there was a man standing out in front of that building, had a canvas knapsack. I went up. I started a conversation with me. And he just so happened to be the owner of a boat that regularly went up that river. And he knew where those tribes were. Bobby got in the boat, and they spent a couple of days and went up. And he was able to stay in places with people that had never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ." That's the Lord making connections with the person of peace, the place of peace. God does stuff just like that. And sometimes he gives us a little help up front. That's really helpful, isn't it? So look for the house of peace. Next thing is join God in what he's doing. Now, you Baptist brothers and sisters who have a background like I do, you know where this comes from. But I remember back in the early 90s, there was a brother by the name of Dr. Henry Blackaby. How many of you have heard of Henry Blackaby and that study called Experiencing God? Well, I'm going to tell you, that lit the fuse of many a Baptist man and woman back in that day. As a matter of fact, when I was in seminary, Dr. Blackaby came. I was taking a class on the Holy Spirit and devotional life, and Dr. Blackaby came and taught our class one day, and we got to sit in there and listen to him in the overflow of his life. But he really carried revival. But the whole premise of that study is found in John chapter 5, verse 19, when these Jewish leaders are jumping on Jesus. Who is he to think he hears from God, that he come from God? And Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do what?" This is amazing if you think about what he's saying. "The Son can do nothing of himself." Who's saying that? Jesus lived his life as a man full of the Holy Spirit. He had to rely upon the Father just like you and me do. And he said, "The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he," what? "Sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner." Jesus says he lived his life in visionary form, if you will. He was able to see what the Father was up to, and he would join God in what he was doing. Now, it's wonderful when the Lord shows you stuff ahead of time. You know, I've had a few times, but when I'm praying before the service, and the Lord says, so-and-so's going to be there, and they're going to wear this kind of, you may not know them, they got this shirt on, and this is what's, and that's powerful when that happens. But Jesus lived that way. He only did what he saw the Father doing. He was led by the Father. How? Through the Holy Spirit. Like we're to be led. And for him to say he did nothing, that tells me that he lived an utterly abandoned life, abandoned to the will of the Father. He checked everything out before he jumped in it. If we could just take that home and live with that, it'd save us. It'd keep us out of many a fry in a pan, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? If we think about, pray about, and ask God about what we do before we just jump in and do it. Jesus did that. He lived that way. He did nothing except what he saw the Father do. He had an exclusive contract with God the Father. "Daddy, I'm only going to do what you are doing." So the principle is, you don't really live life saying, "Well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to ask God to bless it." No, you live your life, "I'm going to see what God's blessing, and that's what I'm going to do." You see, you're joining God where he's already working, just like the house of peace. Oh, he's already at work here. You can work, or he can work, or you can decide, "I'm going to join him where he's working." And that's what we mean here, and that is really the summation of the Experiencing God Bible study. It's powerful. Join God in what he's doing. Learn to do what he's blessing instead of just believing he's going to bless what you're doing. That puts him in the driver's seat. That puts him up in the locomotive up there, and you're following him. You're being led by him. And all of us know what it's like when we got our great ideas and we get it all going and together and, Lord, would you bless this? Nothing's happening. Would you help us? Thank God that sometimes he's merciful, right? But the way we should live our life is to join God in what he is doing. Let's move on to the next one. Notice what causes your heart to come alive. Now, I'm giving my wife credit for this back 15 years or so ago, she started talking a lot about this. You know, Irenaeus, one of the early church fathers, lived in the 2nd century A.D. He said, the glory of God is when a human being is fully alive. The idea, fully alive to God, living to the fullness, the life has God has given us to live. And I like this passage in Luke 24 when Jesus joins the two disciples after he's risen from the dead. They don't even know it's Jesus. He opens the scriptures to them. He shows how Jesus had to suffer to fulfill those prophecies. Goes in and they're sitting at a table about to break bread. And when they broke the bread, he disappeared. And they thought, and they realized it was Jesus. And they said here, this is verse 32. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and where he opened the scriptures to us? This is a principle that's really neat, because a lot of people struggle with what they're supposed to do with their life or what their gifts are. And this is a good indicator for you. What God created you to do, what he created you to do, what he's put inside of you to be able to do, when you're around that thing, your heart will burn. You'll be stirred by it. What cranks your tractor? What gets you going? What stokes your flame? You know, those are the things that can be indicators. What do you have a burden for? What's your heart moved toward? It's like, you know, something's got to be done about this. Somebody ought to be doing something about this. Well, guess who that somebody probably is? But why? Because your heart's burning. Your heart's coming alive toward that thing. And that helps us understand. I remember when God was dealing with me and I was so miserable and, what am I supposed to do with my life? And God began to speak to me, and when the preacher was preaching on Sunday mornings, and I kind of felt bad for a while. I sat back and I thought, I believe I could do that. I found myself like going from I believe I might could do that to like I believe I want to do that. And then finally on that Sunday night when it all came together and I got down on my knees and got really right with God and said, I don't care where it is, whatever you want me to do, where you go, Lord, here's a blank piece of paper. You fill it in. When I got up, I knew not only is what I thought I might could do and I wanted to do, it was what I was supposed to do. It's what I was called to do. It's what I was created to do. And you have components, areas in your heart that sometimes you'll see glimmers of a light in there, a little fire burning, an awakening. Pay attention to that. These disciples were just going down the road and this stranger joins them. And as he talked, their hearts started burning. They were being awakened by what was being spoken. And you find that a lot of times, where there'd be certain things talked about, maybe in the middle of a sermon or just in a conversation with someone or something you see on TV or you read on a billboard or you're reading in the Word. It's different ways, but when you're confronted with that thing, there's almost like something within you leaps, like John the Baptist did in his mother's womb when he got close to Jesus. You start coming alive. Notice what causes your heart to come alive. I don't believe the Lord wants us to be trapped doing something every day the same old way and not enjoy what we're doing and we're just getting by, we're trying to get to that. that place out there where we don't have to do that anymore. We can just do what we want to. No. Find out what causes your heart to come alive. You know? And I know there's a long time when I was doing things that I knew that I, particularly after I knew what I was called to do and I had to continue to work and so forth. But when I wasn't working, I found ways to feed that flame because I had to. It wasn't hard to. I mean, it's just like, I've got to do this. There was an impetus behind it. God's created you. God's called you. He's equipped you. There's something He's put in you. And notice when that begins to stir. Pay attention to that. Begin to pray in it. Take steps of faith toward it. And sometimes it may take a while to get to the place where you're fully embracing it. But when you, if you're faithful in the little, then more is given. Amen. And the last thing quickly. Jesus is now who He was then. Oh, that one's a big one in this old boy's life. And there's so many scriptures we could use, but hard to beat Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, that one verse knocks the supports out of a lot of theology, of people's theology. Jesus doesn't do this anymore. Oh, you're saying He's changed, but the Bible says He hadn't. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What He did then, He'll do now. He told His disciples that. The things I taught you to do, you teach other people to do it. And you keep doing that. You rinse and repeat that until I come back and I will be with you. And I will be with you confirming my word by the accompanying signs. The works shall I do, shall you do also, and greater works to these, because I go to the Father. When Jesus went to the Father, it didn't change who He was. It didn't change what He did or what He continues to do. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when doubt comes along and tries to get you to doubt that God's a miracle working God, you take Hebrews 13:8 and you make a club out of it and you beat that thing down in the ground, keep some dirt on it and pray a funeral prayer and leave it there. Amen? He is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. Just a practical thing. And how does that change your day-to-day life when you're confronting some WWJD? What would Jesus do? And that means something to you if you think He still does what He did back then. That He's still who He is, still who He is now. He is now who He was then. His work is continuing through the Spirit. The Spirit that dwells in you is the same Holy Spirit that lived in Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. The same Holy Spirit that empowered Him to walk on the water, give sight to the blind, heal those with lame limbs, give speech to the mute, and hearing to the deaf. That same Spirit still dwells in His body on the earth. His body on the earth is called the church, the bride of Christ. And that's you and me. Corporately, there should be the expressions of Christ to the world that He expressed when He walked the earth. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you believe that, stand up with me and give the Lord a hand. Amen. Amen. Lord, we thank You. As our worship team comes, Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that You would help us. Give us discernment to look for that person of peace, that house of peace. Help us, Lord, to be able to see what You're doing and join You in what You're doing. Help us to be led by You, Lord, not our own ideas. I pray in the name of Jesus that, Lord, we would be attentive to what's going on in our heart when we're around the things that we're supposed to connect with, the things that we're supposed to carry out, the things that we're supposed to do related to our destiny. I pray in the name of Jesus, Father, that our faith would be strong and anchored to the truth that, Lord Jesus, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. That we won't relegate the God of power to days gone by, but he's the true and living God that walks with us day in and day out. And we thank you for your presence with us, Lord. And I pray tonight across this room, whatever hearts may need a touch from you, I pray, Father, that you would move now mightily across this room. As our prayer team members come here, if you need prayer tonight, I encourage you to come forward right now and just receive ministry. And Father, we just ask that these simple things would be stirred in our hearts tonight. We would carry them with us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for what you're doing, Lord. Thank you that we get to join you in the plans you have for 2025. Lord, may we not settle for less than what you're extending to us. May faith rise up to meet the demands of the hour. I pray for those tonight who may be struggling, that they would be strengthened in their struggle. I pray for those seeking answers and wisdom, Lord, that revelation would be given them to see, hear, know, and understand what they need to receive from you. Pray those who may need healing in their body, that anointing to heal, Lord, would bring healing, would birth a miracle in their life, even this night. And Lord, those that may be bound, we thank you for the power of the name of Jesus and his blood to break every shackle of Satan, uproot every root of sin, and to fill anew with your Holy Spirit those who humble themselves before you. Have your way tonight, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come if you need prayer tonight? Just come on up.